I mean, I was telling Paul Hazlett earlier this morning, I feel like kind of an oddball here, but we're going to switch to calcium for a few minutes. And what I want to present first, just a little bit of an introduction. Calcium is important to forest and aquatic ecosystems and function through its interactive effects on soil base saturation, water acid neutralizing capacity, organic matter cycling, and plant biochemical and physical processes in growth. And forest soil exposure to long-term acid deposition, especially these shallow, poorly buffered sites, has led to substantial site-based, right from the forest soil or catchment scale, calcium losses. And in forest practices, and I'm defining forest practices, any forestry operation that harvests trees and goes through regeneration, because there's so many of them that are out there, disrupt this calcium cycle, potentially negative ramifications towards ecosystem structure and function. Now, what I want to do is sort of walk you through a little bit, this calcium is issue in Ontario forests. We have what's called a timber class environmental assessment. And any organization that does not agree with the way that the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources is managing their forests can apply a individual environmental assessment to the Ministry of the Environment through the Environmental Registry. And then from that, the MOECC, which is Ministry of the Environment, will contact MNR, and then the Ministry of Natural Resources has to come up with a response to that. So there are two applications that were requesting these IEAs for calcium in 2010. And when it came to MNR, a science team was assembled to provide guidance to the policy and then the regional and district staff that actually go in on the ground and monitoring these situations. And then from that, the Ministry of Natural Resources responded to the MOE in terms of a report. And then MOE prepares a declaration order, which will mandate what MNR has to do in relation to calcium or whatever issue that is that comes at hand. And for calcium, the declaration for MOE was that forest management plans can be implemented, but we will continue to assess the calcium depletion issue. And then there are a series of science recommendations that came from our forest policy section. One was a literature synthesis, which is what I'm going to talk mostly about today. And then we also have to identify high risks for forest catchments and then provide guidance for the interim direction that limits the amounts, intensity, and patterns of harvest to mitigate potential impacts on calcium supply. So the literature synthesis, I published this last year in SSSAJ. And considered two forest cover types. One was hardwoods, and then I combined conifer and mixed woods for a couple of reasons. One was because of sample size limitations, and then the second was because our interest was really in what's going on in tolerant hardwood or northern hardwood forests. And then I assessed five components of the calcium cycle: long-term soil trends, the non-harvested plots, surface water quality trends, the catchment balance, and then recycling of calcium, and then how forest practices actually affected soil calcium concentrations in their pools. I looked at 82 papers. Actually, I looked at a lot more. I selected 82 papers. These came for 525 values total from selecting of these papers, and they were synthesized down to 318 data points that were distributed across those five different areas, and then I calculated mean response ratio, long-term trends looking at calcium value at the first sampling divided by its last sampling, and then for forest practices, calcium value in the control divided by the treated site. And then I used non-parametric statistics for all the analysis. Mostly it was the using the median test to look at any differences. So some quasi-long-term trends. It was very interesting that there's very little information out there beyond 10 years on a lot of this stuff, which was kind of surprising to me because this has been an issue since the 1970s. But if we look at non-harvested stands here, these are hardwood, conifer mixed woods here. This is the forest floor, and then this is the mineral soil, and that mineral soil depth could have varied anywhere from 10 centimeters to a meter. And then the response ratio, which was actually, this should be the first minus the last, or divided by the last harvesting. These hardwood soils appear to be, or the forest floors appear to be, losing calcium over these longer terms, whereas in the conifer mixed wood situations, there really no effect. And then also with the mineral soil, there really wasn't an effect. These, the white line here is the median value, and then the box is the 95th percentile of the median. And these calcium losses were consistent with stream and lake calcium losses. And then for the water quality parameters, we looked at a series of them. The interesting things were, first, it looks like acid neutralizing capacity is improving, especially in the northeastern U.S. and eastern Canada. And this is a result mostly of these decreases in sulfate, and then slightly but not much to smaller decreases over this long period in calcium. So that sulfate to calcium ratio, really these differences are occurring because of the decreases in sulfate, not so much decreases in calcium. And then we put together an input-output balance. We have deposition here, mineral weathering, tree uptake, and water export. And in these hardwood stands, you can see water export really dominates the calcium losses that are occurring. Whereas in these conifer and mixedwood sites, it's more of the plant uptake or tree uptake that is actually accounting for most of the calcium losses from the soils. And then the net balance was a negative or a loss of almost 8 kilograms per hectare per year from hardwood forests and about 3 kilograms per hectare per year from conifer and mixed woods. And this was actually not different from zero, this number for the conifer mixed wood sites. And found really no general forest practices effects on long-term calcium export. And that a lot of people argue with me about that, but the data are what the data are. And we looked at forest practices in soils, and some of the things that we found were, again, no effect on exchangeable calcium in either the forest floor or the mineral soil for concentration, or the forest floor and mineral soil for calcium content. In fact, if you look at a concentration basis, these forest floors are in hardwood stands and the mineral soil in hardwood stands are actually accumulating or gaining more calcium than their pre-harvest conditions. And again, this response ratio is a control divided by the treated. The caveat here is that most of the studies looking at this, when they did sample the mineral soil, they just limited it to that 10 to 20 centimeters. So really, there's very little information out there over what's going on deeper than that. You know, are these deeper B horizon soils losing calcium? Are they gaining calcium? We just don't know at this point. I think that we need a lot more studies over this area right here. However, even though we found no long-term patterns on calcium, forest practices can cause episodic acidification. And we don't know what those cumulative effects are on the aquatic ecosystems because there hasn't been any studies looking at that. And then it's difficult to partition out these forest practices from climate change because climate change can have the same effect. It can, as the climate gets drier, you get more decomposition going on, and then that can result in more acidification. These are data that were compiled following harvest for solemn calcium. And again, this mineral soil depth buried. This is a northern, this is Hubbard Brook. This is a the Weymouth Point site in Maine. This is some studies down in Tennessee that were studied by Dale Johnson. This is Carl Trenton's work in Michigan, Glenn Moraz and Marty Jurgensen's work in Michigan and hardwoods. And some mixed wood stands here in Saskatchewan, and then a hardwood stand in Michigan, and mixed wood stands in Quebec. And one of the interesting things here, this red line, this is your post-harvest calcium content in kilograms per hectare. The blue line is your pre-harvest. We see we get to a point right about 1,000 kilograms per hectare calcium, these responses shift. And the asterisks up here, these individual studies were significant. If there's no asterisks, they were not significant. And then after 1,000 kilograms per hectare, then you start seeing a different response. And this response becomes more dramatic as you get into higher calcium contents. This is up in the clay belt in Quebec and Ontario right here. And then what I did was asking this question, are these poorly buffered shallow soils really the ones that are impacted by harvesting? These data show a completely opposite story, that it's more these richer sites where you're seeing the calcium depletion from the harvesting occurring. And that's not really new information. Glenn Moraz and Marty Jurgensen published on this back in 85. And then a couple of others since then, but it's still that dilemma where most people think that it's these shallow, poorly buffered soils that are really the ones that are sensitive to calcium depletion. And then I plotted this response ratio here by, this is the initial calcium content, either pre-harvest or under control from these treatments. And we get a power function. And again, you know, we see right around 1,000 kilograms per hectare here is where we start seeing these changes occurring. And then they go out and they may be plateauing out as you get to these higher calcium contents. Now, some of the possible causes here, that these are all hypotheses, is mobilization of calcium from the bee horizon to the forest floor through tree uptake and then its return through litter fall, incorporating organic matter and mineral soil during harvesting, acidity-induced sulfate absorption. I'm just showing this a lot in the northeastern U.S., where as the soils become acidic, mostly due to nitrification, then you start seeing enhanced sulfate absorption occurring. And then when you get on these high calcium-containing soils, it's probably due to rapid nitrification, the calcium losses. So what we're doing now is we started a study. We've joined forces with Sean Watmo at Trent University, and Carolyn Reed, who just started her PhD, is going to be studying the implications of these calcium declines in the boreal forest, southern boreal forest. This is a study site here. This is down around where the Dorset watershed is, if people are familiar with that. And then this is Algonquin, or this is the Muskoka River watershed, and then the study area focus is going to be up in here. These red dots and red triangles are where you have your lowest lake calcium levels. So that's what we're really going to be interested in looking at from a harvesting standpoint, is what's actually going on in these compared to these higher calcium lakes and catchments. And then this just shows the changes in sulfate deposition rates. This is a site here, and then this is 1990, and then 2012. So there have been some pretty rapid changes in sulfate deposition going on here. And some of the chapters that Carolyn has proposed is one, critical loads. I didn't mention that at all, but that's just an estimate of how much acidity either a soil or a water body can maintain before you start seeing deleterious effects on the aquatic systems. Catchment weathering rates, and we're going to develop a catchment-based calcium sensitivity risk assessment tool, and then look at wood ash mitigation as a possible mitigation for calcium losses. But more importantly, and this is what I think, is that we really need more experiments testing the intensities of biomass removal, regeneration, and spatial locations on calcium dynamics across the site quality designations. And that's it.